Hey, so it's Thursday night, it's after hockey practice, and I recorded this one at the hockey rink because it's been one of those weeks, and I thought the background music of hockey pucks hitting the boards would be really quite fun. It turns out you actually can hear me, which is great. I could barely hear myself, but I do need to clarify something. I mentioned in this episode frequently two arms, and what I mean is in the trials, in the clinical trials, there are two arms, not the two arms of your body. So I had, I guess, arms and injections on my mind, but there's vaccine and placebo arms in the clinical trials. And what I meant was there was no meaningful difference in serious adverse events between the two clinical trial arms. I hope that makes sense. Yes, the vaccine does go into your arm, but not both arms at the same time. You only get vaccine or placebo in one arm. And so I hope you enjoy this episode. Ben would also like to clarify, because you will hear me
say, in practice, you know, we were doing a drill. It was a power play drill, basically where you're one man up player-wise after a penalty from the other team. And one of my friends, he took a shot. And I wasn't fully ready for it because I was trying to battle the coach with me in the front of the net. And it caught me in the shoulder. And you, in the episode, I was like, oh, that's not right. He was like, oh, Ben just got hit with a puck.
In the back of the head. It sounded really bad. And I sounded really unfazed and uncaring. And, you know, what a hockey mom.
No, but that's so, why we wear gear.
Yes, you have a lot of gear. In fact, have you ever actually been hurt at hockey?
I mean, it stings when you get hit in the wrong place, but no, you walk it off. And so, it's not like actual broken something. It's just, you know, maybe a bruise at most.
Very rarely, I think.
Yeah, very rarely. Like, I'm usually totally fine.
Two boys have played hockey now for 6 years, and so I've been to a lot of hockey. And I have only ever seen one injury in all that time. You have really strong gear, and we actually buy you the best helmets that we can.
And also, Mom, you can't give the players no credit. They know how to move and avoid.
And that wasn't a slap shot to the back of your head. That was a wrist
was.
Or something.
It was.
Come on.
Yeah, it was.
No.
He chipped it a little bit, but it was still a pretty good shot.
Well, I saw you turn around and laugh, and so I didn't feel like it was anything to worry about.
Yeah.
So, just for anybody who's listening and curious, are you enjoying hockey?
Yeah.
Is it worth all of the dressing outside and the...
Yeah. I would say
in the
so.
Cold. Well, you get dressed at home and then you put skates on outside, so...
Yeah.
But are your hands terribly freezing and getting ripped up by the cold, or... Tell me...
No, we're fine.
Tell all of our amazing listeners what you do with your fingers when they do get chewed up by the cold. Do you still have to tie skates?
I just, like, put bandages on.
Bandages are that stick-to-itself sort of stretchy black stuff works really well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you just wrap yourself up and... All right. Well, I think we've clarified nearly everything that might sound odd in the episode.
There's a lot of things.
Anything remaining, we'll use the trailer to clean up. Well, actually, I'm using that word wrong. The closing, I should say. The trailer is like something that presents the whole podcast itself.
Yeah.
Right. I should really just get my terms right, shouldn't I?
You should, you know, get your terms right so you don't have to... make these
to correct
sections.
These corrections
People might not watch till the full end of this episode and think, God, what are these people thinking?
Well, actually, no one's watching at all, so we're lucky there. All right, thanks.
Sorry,
Ben,
to the few viewers out there for this
this
please
ramble.
don't go through too much pain listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoy.
This podcast is all about pain. The whole thing is painful. Even the intro, which should be short, is now painful. Painfully long.
Wait, this is going to be the intro.
This is the intro. The intro is almost as long as the episode.
This is going to be a pretty weird intro. It's like, hey, just to clarify, all these things we said wrong in the video, don't think we're complete idiots. Okay, bye.
Well, actually, to be honest, I ended the episode with exactly that. Which is, you should always leave room to be wrong. You shouldn't be too adamant, and you should learn how to say things with some nuance that you're comfortable with. So that was a great segue, Ben. Thank you so much. Always leave room to be wrong. Never be too adamant. And learn how to end painfully long intros. Thanks. I hope you enjoy this episode.
This intro is as long as the episode.
Hey, recording here from the hockey rink, talking about reactogenicity. Reactogenicity is how your body responds to an antigen in a vaccine. There are two types of response. One is injection site reactions, and the other is systemic. And typically, we're finding that the injection site reactions are localized, not frequent, and tolerated well. The systemic reactions are the ones you're hearing about, and that's the fever and the headache and the fatigue, definitely a fatigue. Everyone's tired. And that's true in both arms. The very rare serious adverse events are less than 1%, and no meaningful difference between the two arms. So my son just got bonked in the back of the head with a puck. It's a great battle going on out here. In one of these episodes, I will describe exactly what we're doing to keep kids on the ice safely and what protocols we have in place. So in any case, younger people are going to have a more vigorous reaction to the vaccine, and it's going to be more vigorous after dose two. And basically, I just wanted to explain what that's all about. You can dig into this more if you want. It's pretty interesting. But those systemic reactions are evidence that the innate immune system, the first responders, are there and activated. And in the second dose, it's evidence that they were activated initially and are primed. Okay? So there are two components of your immune system. Very simply, they're innate and adaptive. The adaptive is the B cells making the antibodies. The innate is things like neutrophils and macrophages and cytokines and the signaling pathways within your immune system to attract first responders to a site of infection. All right, so that's innate and adaptive. Hopefully that makes sense, and hopefully the noticeable reactions among the younger people make some sense, because as you've probably heard, as you get older, your immune system goes into what's called senescence, and it's a somewhat weakened state compared to when you're younger, okay? So that's somewhat to be expected. The serious adverse events were less than 1%, and I thought it was kind of interesting that there was no meaningful difference between both arms, but that's because there are so, so few. I mean, it's less than 1%, but extremely rare. And not meaningfully different between the two arms. I got an interesting answer on Twitter to that this morning. And that's because they are solicited responses. And so vaccine recipients or placebo recipients are specifically asked if they've had these particular side effects, these serious adverse events. And so some have suggested this might be the power of suggestion. I'm not sure. But I thought that was interesting that there's actually no meaningful difference between vaccine and placebo. Okay, one last thought I want to leave you with is, all right, hockey's wrapping up. I got to make this quick. I ran into a conversation the other night when I thought my conversation partner was a little bit overly adamant about something. So I did some research, and it just made me rethink about the importance of being nuanced in responses and the importance of always coupling anecdotal information. Even professional experience needs to be coupled with research-based evidence. It's kind of like how much I appreciate qualitative and quantitative data. Both are very good, but they tell a different story. Qualitative data helps put your quantitative data into context. Qualitative is the open-ended responses to questions on a survey. Quantitative data, on the other hand, is like answering 1 to 5 on, you know, how pleased were you with your service, or how quickly did the technician respond? Were you satisfied? You can answer on a scale 1 to 5 or 1 to 10. That's quantitative. Qualitative data provides a lot of rich context and really informs us as to whether or not we are asking the right questions, actually, in the first place. So I had this conversation about mortality and among people in the ICU put on a ventilator. And I'm not sure that, even though it feels this way, and I'm sure in some places it actually is this way, across the board, based on population-based studies and a meta-analysis and some repeated findings over time, I don't believe that, and this is relevant to our family's recent situation, I don't believe that mortality, once put on a ventilator, is 80% in all cases. It's really very much dependent on patient characteristics, and I found that the researchers also proposed the very logical resource
constraints at a facility. So really need to dig deeper. And I just think it's hard for people sometimes in this uncertain period to constantly nuance every response. And it's certainly hard for professionals to say something that leaves open the door for questions and the need for further research. We want to be able to say something definitive. I'm guilty of that too. I really want to be like, okay, I know that, I can say that. But every time I turn around, I'm like, you know, actually, I think it's okay to say the best of my knowledge. This is what I think. But I think that, you know, relying overly much on one person, one study, one finding, or even one's own personal experience accrued over years is relying too heavily on anecdote. And I talked about this in the N of One. Always be looking for complementary sources of information and be willing to, I'm part writer, epidemiologist and writer, and so find some ways to say things that are nuanced, that feel comfortable to you and can just come rolling out. Like, you know, to the best of my knowledge, it's blah, blah, blah. Or I'm really curious about that too. I think it's this, but I'm constantly thinking about that and looking at that. If you listen to This Week in Virology, a podcast that I really like, you can hear them say that too. The scientists take time. They take a breath. They actually buy themselves time to think, and they have some, they consistently use phrases that allow them to preserve some nuance and the opportunity for further research. And I think we can all benefit from just kind of paying attention to how that's done. So I hope you enjoyed this. Maybe next episode I will share exactly what we're doing here on the ice rink to help keep the kids skating, keep them safe, keep them from bringing community exposures to the rink, and preventing any accidental imports of community exposures from circulating among the teams, actually keeping the team players, not just the teams, but the players themselves, from even being close contacts of each other. It's been an interesting season, and definitely one requiring some nuance in reporting, but I can tell you it's a nice sound hearing that puck hit the boards, and it's great to see their faces. It's great to see the coaches happy. So thanks again for listening. And have a great night or a great morning, wherever you are. Okay, so I was less articulate than I would like to have been in that episode. I do apologize. I think I heard myself say ba-ba-ba, but to my credit, I was freezing. And I recorded the episode, and then I looked down, and my phone had not recorded it. And so I had to actually redo it, and so my hands were freezing, and I do apologize. I normally don't give myself redos unless, obviously, it never got recorded in the first place, unfortunately. So one quick clarification, intramuscular injections for these COVID vaccines, intramuscular tends to be less reactogenic. Live vaccines are administered subcutaneously, and they tend to be more reactogenic because they trigger that innate first responder response. So you're going to get more systemic reactions. Oftentimes to those. I was also curious, should you take any medications before getting the vaccine or after, and does that affect the immune response? To the best of my knowledge, from a paper that I read, it looked like it might be better to not take those kinds of medications before your injection, wait to see if you actually need it, and then take them afterwards. If you take them afterwards, they should not in any way inhibit or dampen your immune response. If you take them before, I kind of felt like there was a question as to whether or not you might already be knocking back some of those first responders, and they might be kind of necessary as the messengers to really get a full and vigorous immune response. So I think I would just wait and just see how it goes and know that you can take it afterwards without that concern. And this is based on a paper that was actually sent to me by an immunologist in response to some of my questions. So I think it's a reasonable approach. It's not only logical, but it's based on some good research. And lastly, yes, my kids are playing hockey, and yes, I'm the volunteer epidemiologist, and yes, in a lot of places, hockey has been shut down, and I was chatting with one of the coaches after practice tonight at the rink, and he was saying the NHL is actually having some trouble right now. They are trying to do this season what we are doing, which is running a hockey program in the midst of, I think, really actually the highest transmission load that we've seen
Because last spring, it was actually on that first wave. This second, third wave, however you count it, is actually much higher. They're trying to do it without a bubble. And that is really hard. I know from experience that you need really, really good cooperation with all of the people in the program to be vigilant for the most subtle symptoms. Don't bring them to the rink. And then mitigate the bejeebers out of everything else. Like, the kids are dressing outside in the parking lot and wearing masks inside. The only time they have no mask on is on the ice. And I'm in there in the cold watching just to kind of see if drills are being done to maximize movement and prevent kids from clustering. We actually did come back to twice a week practices instead of the once a week. And so far, so good. I am hearing about people with symptoms, but these are school-based or, for instance, swim team-based exposures, it looks like, among siblings. We have a really good communication network set up. Parents are not afraid to call me. I provide them with a lot of information about how to isolate, how to calculate their quarantine dates, their isolation dates, how to actually isolate at home so other families don't get it. I'm just really, really impressed with the partnership that we have and the fact that you know, people just pick up the phone and call me. And then I've been working closely with the hockey director and with the coaches and have really learned a lot from this experience. I am so thankful to be able to really have some boots on the ground opportunity here. So anyway, we're home, aren't we, Ben?
Yeah.
Are you hungry for a second dinner like a hobbit?
No.
You're all done? Shower for you, buddy. You know what's really cool? I still cannot smell your hockey gear. I can only smell, like, a good dinner cooking, but I cannot smell anything bad. That's awesome.
I think the placebo effect is taking hold here.
I know, you're a big...
You can attribute a lot of things to COVID, and that probably did originate from COVID, but either you're really milking it, and it went away months ago, or this is the placebo effect.
Well, you're right about the placebo effect. There's a lot of things that, the power of suggestion. And actually, to be honest, the placebo effect should not be reviled. I was just talking about this with a physical therapist. There is so much we can do to stimulate our bodies to self-heal by that kind of biofeedback and trust in oneself. There actually is something to it. So anyway, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good night or good morning.
Wherever you are.
Wherever you are, once again. Thanks for being patient with my frozen recording.